Hey there, friends. It's Danielle Alvarez Greer, and I've got something special to share with you. You know, life isn't always easy. In fact, it can be downright messy. But in the midst of the chaos, there's always hope. And that's what I want to talk to you about today in this episode. You see, I've been where you are. I know what it's like to feel broken, lost, and alone. But I also know what it's like to find healing and restoration in the most unexpected places. And that's what I want to share with you. My journey from darkness to light, from pain to purpose. So, if you're tired of feeling stuck, if you're longing for something more, then I invite you to join me for the premiere episode of the Happy Family Coach podcast. Together, we'll dive deep into my story, the highs, the lows, and everything in between. Trust me, you won't want to miss this. So mark your calendars, set those reminders, and get ready to rewrite the story of your family's legacy with me, Danielle Alvarez Greer. See you there. Welcome to the Happy Family Coach podcast, your guide to rewriting the story of your family's legacy. I'm Danielle Alvarez Greer, here to help you navigate the twists and turns of family life, faith, and personal growth. Get ready for practical tools, spiritual insights, and heartfelt conversations to transform your family dynamic. Welcome to the Happy Family Coach podcast, where real life challenges meet real solutions. Hey, y'all. Welcome to the premiere episode of the Happy Family Coach podcast. I'm so thankful that you are here. I want to invite you to join me on a journey. I'm going to tell this story in a non-linear way, meaning I'm going to start at a pivotal moment in my adult years and then jump around back and forth. And so I'm going to do my best to keep you engaged. And I'm also going to be asking some questions that you can reflect on that will help you sort of look at your own life, your own past, any unresolved hurts, wounds, and unresolved conflict. So here we go. We'll call the first part of this story my dark years as a young adult. This time frame is around my late 20s, early 30s. There's a pivotal moment in my life, and it was a big and ugly knockdown, drag out fight that I was having with my former husband, and it was in front of our two young children. One was 5 at the time, and the other was 1 year old. And in our typical destructive pattern of relating to one another, we had a disagreement about one thing that uncovered an entire iceberg. You know how they always use the analogy of an iceberg, that the Titanic hit that iceberg, that it was small up top, but underneath it was just this humongous rock face that did all the damage to the boat that sunk the Titanic. This particular incident uncovered a lot, now that I reflect back on it, of bitterness and past hurts, resentment and unforgiveness that we both had been storing up, left unresolved and waiting to just be provoked, waiting to be tampered with. We had been married for a little over 6 years at this point, and of those 6 years, all of them were highly dysfunctional. But let's get back to that big argument that I was talking about. We were having this fight, and my former husband was screaming at me, and I was screaming back at him. He was calling me horrific names. His veins were bulging from his neck. But don't let me fool you into believing that I was innocent. I wasn't. I actually played a very big part in the dysfunction. I had learned to be really good at fighting back, being really good at saying equally as harmful words back. In fact, my tongue knew exactly how to speak death and how to go straight to the jugular with my words. Neither one of us were demonstrating godly love. We were not being slow to anger. We were not quick to listen. And we had no idea how to maintain any sense of self-control. During this particular fight, our son and daughter witnessed their mom and dad just behaving destructively. They saw their father yelling at me. and getting in my face. They saw me crying and asking him to stop. Our youngest, our precious daughter, was clinging to my leg. She was sobbing and begging for me to pick her up. I eventually came to my senses and picked her up, and I could feel her precious little body trembling with fear. And my son was observing from across the room and yelling at us to stop fighting. I think he even was throwing like Legos at us to stop, please stop fighting. It was literally in this moment that I realized I was repeating the same destructive pattern of the dysfunctional behavior, the bad parenting, the unhealthy relationship, and broken communication for my children that I grew up with. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. It was heavy. There was this supernatural feeling that took over me. It was a feeling of desperation that I needed to stop this cycle, but I had no idea how. All I knew at this moment was that I did not want my children to have to go through what I went through. I can look back now and see that we were both reacting and fighting from a place of brokenness and misplaced worship. I was miserable and wanted him to make me happy. I wanted him to tell me I was good enough. I wanted him to make me feel valuable, worthy, loved, and important. My worth, my joy, my happiness, and my value was wrapped up in what I did, who I thought I needed to be, and how well I performed or didn't perform. I had zero hope. I put my hope in people, in material things, and in my quote-unquote job title or social status. At this point in my life, my relationship with God was non-existent. In fact, I had been angry with God since about the age of 7, and I never really knew or understood what it meant when people said that God is this loving father, God figure, who supposedly cared for people, provided for them, protected them, forgave them, and accepted them. Jesus was the dead guy, I grew up Catholic, hanging from a large cross at the front of our church above the altar that I was somehow responsible for putting there. From the age of 7 to 31, I felt alone, ashamed, empty, angry, worthless, unloved, bad, stupid, too much, not enough, and the list goes on. From the time I was 7 years old, I blindly believed the lie, or as I call in my counseling, unhappy story, that I was a bad girl that did not deserve to be loved. And that no matter what I did, no matter how hard I tried, who I knew, how hard I worked, how much I tried to be good, I could never quite feel worthy, good enough, valued, treasured, loved, or approved of. Okay, I'm going to take a quick pause from my story to insert a reflective question that I want to ask you that maybe you can later in your quiet time or as you're driving home from work or driving to work can reflect on. And that question is, have you ever felt overwhelmed by darkness and chaos in your own life? And how did you find hope in those moments? Or what do you look to for hope in those moments of darkness and chaos? Just sit with that at some point today. Okay, let's jump back in. So I'm going to title this section of my story, The Awakening and Search for Worthiness. So where did this lie, the one I shared with you earlier, that I'm a bad girl and don't deserve to be loved, where did this unhappy story come from? To answer this, we need to go way back to my childhood. You see, I grew up in an extremely dysfunctional family where I was exposed to and often the brunt of much physical, mental, and emotional abuse. I was witness to and victim of repeated domestic violence, fits of rage, disturbing behaviors, cruelty, blame shifting, yelling, name calling, all of that. Chaos, dysfunctional behavior. And it was cyclical. It was confusing. It was unsafe. But the worst part was that outside of the four walls of our home, no one knew about the abuse or about the dysfunction. Outside of the home, everyone thought we were this perfect little family. Outside of the home, we learned how to put on our best faces. We learned how to lie, how to cover up for dad's abuse and rage. And we pretended that we were all right. We were okay. We didn't need any help. But in reality, we were not okay. Inside, we were dying and crying for help, for protection, for healing, for the madness to end. But it never did. I won't go into great detail about the events that occurred, but I will give a broad overview to help tie everything all together with a pretty little bow. When I was 7 years old, I witnessed a horrible fight between my mother and father. I'm not 100% certain what the fight was about, but what I remember has made a lasting impact on me. During this fight, my parents were yelling and screaming at one another. The argument escalated, and the next thing I knew, my mom was screaming from our tiny bathroom, and then I heard a loud bang, and then I heard a thump. My little sister was 3 at the time, so sweet, so precious, the sweetest little sister you could ever imagine. And she was crying, and she was scared, and she was trembling. I remember feeling confident and that I knew what to do. I grabbed her hand as a way to calm her, and I told her we needed to go check on Mama. So I pulled her along, and we entered the bathroom, and that's where we found our precious, sweet Mama in the bathtub. In my mind, I thought she was either dead or hurt very badly. I knew I needed to call someone for help, so I again grabbed my sister's hand and walked over to the phone in the other room. I picked up the receiver, and I manually, in those old-fashioned rotary phones, dialed my grandmother's phone number. That's the time when we remembered phone numbers. I knew that Grandma would know what to do. Grandma answered, and I very calmly, at least in my mind, I was calm, explained to her what had happened and that we needed help. I remember my grandma asking me a series of questions. I don't know if she was stalling while she was getting ready, but she was asking me how my mom was, where was my dad, how were we, how was my sister. She assured me that she was going to call our neighbor Bob to come over the house right away, and then she was going to call the police. And I remember feeling comforted, like, yes, we're getting help. This is good. Everything's going to be okay. The next thing I remember is right in the middle of Grandma telling me that she was going to send help, my precious broken mama came around the corner and reactively questioned who I was on the phone with. Who did you call, Danielle? And I said, Mama, it's Grandma. She's going to send us help. And my mom yanked the phone out of my hand, yelled at me for telling Grandma the truth and about all the details of what had happened. And then she slapped me across the face. And there it was. This is the exact moment when the enemy got a foothold in my mind and in my precious heart. This is when I allowed the enemy to get a foothold. In that moment, the message sent to me about the abuse, about asking for help, about calling Grandma, was that I was somehow a bad girl, that our family was not allowed. We didn't have permission to ask for help, that our family didn't deserve help, didn't deserve support or healing, that I needed to just suck it up, pretend that everything in our family dynamic was okay, was healthy and normal, and I was encouraged to live a lie. And although I was doing something good by calling my grandma for help, to my mama, what I did at the time was wrong and bad. Now, I don't want to throw my mom under the bus. She's amazing, and she has gone through an amazing healing transformation, and I look forward to having her on my show to share with you her testimony. It's really powerful. And I think my mom in that moment was so filled with shame, and she did not want her mom, my grandma, to worry about her. She was more interested in protecting other people than from getting help or from receiving help, because she had her own lies, her own false identity, her own unhappy story that she believed about herself, that she was unworthy of love or unworthy of being cared for or protected. She struggled with that for a long time. So the message, again, being sent to me after my mom slapped me was that I was bad. And although I was doing something good, the message was, well, I must be bad and do bad things and get in trouble even when I do good things. And so fast forward, what happens to people that believe they're bad and believe that they do bad things? Well, they deep down inside don't believe they deserve love, validation, approval, mercy, grace, help, support, accolades, support, encouragement, you name it. What they deserve is shame, condemnation, mistreatment, abuse, passive aggressive love, settle for crumbs, ridicule, harsh criticism, put downs, emotional manipulation, to be controlled, and so on and so forth. And so what does someone do when they believe the unhappy story that they are bad and undeserving of love? They will take on an unhealthy defense strategy. In biblical counseling, we refer to these unhealthy defense strategies as strongholds. It's when people believe that they need to turn to these particular unhealthy defense strategies as a way to help them either overcompensate for or medicate them from feeling all the bad, unhappy feelings that come from believing this very powerful lie, this unhappy story that they're bad. They will do anything and everything to avoid feeling condemned and shamed. Okay, I'm going to pause one more time and just give a little time for reflection. And you can write this down for later, or if you're sitting down in front of your journal, you can write this down now. What unhappy story or lie have you been blindly believing about yourself? Maybe something has happened recently, or maybe it's something from your childhood, but if you can get in touch with the belief about yourself during that conflict, what is it? And who do you become when you feel shamed, blamed, criticized, judged, hurt, or condemned? What are your defense strategies, your strongholds, when you feel shamed, blamed, criticized, judged, hurt, or condemned? And how do these destructive behaviors play out in your relationships, your relationship with God, your relationship with others? And how does it impact your parenting? I will spend a lot more time discussing strongholds, defense strategies, destructive behaviors, personas, life decisions, payoffs, and consequences in future episodes. So stay tuned. I won't leave you hanging. So back to the story. At some point in my preteen years, I made the life decision that I was going to prove to everyone and to the world that I wasn't a bad girl. I was determined to prove that I was a good girl who was worthy and deserving of being loved. I worked so hard to be perfect at everything. Everything I did, I tried to be perfect. I tried to be the friend everyone needed or wanted me to be. I started to get attention for being pretty and liked how it made me feel. But no matter how many times I was told I was pretty or talented or smart or happy or creative, there was this thing inside of me, deep down inside, that told me I still was not good enough. I was lonely. I was sad. I was angry, hurt, and felt unloved, unlovable. By the age of 14, older boys began to take notice of me. I was a good girl at school with straight A's and perfect attendance. I had lots of friends, but many of them were extremely jealous of me. They made fun of me for being too perfect, too much, too showy, and for getting all the attention from teachers, faculty, peers, and boys. I wanted these so-called friends to like me, and so I started trying to stand out less and be more like them. I began engaging in risky behaviors, smoking a cigarette or two, ditching school, sneaking out of my house at night to go meet up with friends, boys, drinking, and lying to my parents. The abuse, the chaos, and the dysfunction continued at home and in fact worsened. My dad began to, his addiction began to worsen, and it just really took hold of him and began to affect his mental state, and the rage just got worse. In fact, it got so bad that mom did everything she could to cover up my risky behavior from my dad because she was terrified that he would beat me and or hurt me. But also, at the age of 14, I began starving myself. I was determined to be skinny like the models on the Vogue magazine, the cover of Vogue magazine. I would go days without eating anything. I would eventually get so hungry, and so I would binge, like eat everything in sight, and then I'd feel this deep guilt and shame after eating so much that I would go into the bathroom and purge. It was disgusting. I was eventually diagnosed with anorexia and bulimia nervosa, and I was on the verge of being hospitalized, but I learned how to, and I'm holding up my fingers in quotation marks, I thought I learned how to control it without having to be hospitalized. I manipulated the system. And this destructive behavior went on until I was like 21 years old. I struggled with anorexia, starving myself, serious body image, body dysmorphia, bulimia. And it was bad. It was a really, really hard, dark time. Okay, to this point, I have already been extremely vulnerable and authentic, but now I'm going to really open my heart and share something with you that really I had not discussed or shared with anyone until about 10, maybe 11 years ago. It's hard for me to talk about, but I know that there is someone out there listening who maybe has struggled with the same thing, or who is believing these same lies about themselves, that my story would be able to shine light on their pain and maybe even bring them closer to God. And so here we go. At the age of 14 and a half, I ditched school to go to a party where there were a bunch of older guys. And it was at this party that I was sexually assaulted. After that, I felt dirty, used, and even more worthless. And no one knew about it. I didn't tell anybody. Remember that lie that I don't deserve love, I don't deserve protection, I don't deserve safety, or I don't deserve to be treated like I'm valuable? Well, this incident added to my long list of reasons to feel ashamed. And Satan knew exactly what he was doing. And I was too lost in my emotions to catch on to his antics. He's very creative and he wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy you. I remember wrestling with the idea that the rape was somehow my fault because I was the one that made the choice to ditch school. And that was my choice, and I take responsibility for that. I own that. But what happened to me was definitely out of my control, and I didn't want that. But I wrestled with it, and I was convinced that it was my fault and that I deserved it. And so if that's you, if you share the same story, I just want to encourage you, and I just want to let you know that God has more for you. There's so much more for you than what has happened to you or to me. He actually wants to take that crazy, destructive, painful moment, and he wants to redeem it. He wants to use it. He wants to heal you like he's healed me. And so my prayer would be for you to reach out to someone and share your story with them. So after this assault, I really, in my worthlessness, just became a very promiscuous teenager. In my mind, I believed truly, in my deep down inside, I believe that in order to get a guy to love me, to treasure me, to value me, what's what I so desperately wanted was that I had to sleep with him. I had zero relationship skills. I lacked any healthy form of communication. And I was completely self-centered, to be honest. I was only interested in getting someone else to make me feel better about myself, to prove my worth, to prove my value. I had no clue that my attempts at proving my worth to someone else was sort of empty and it was never going to be fulfilled. There is only one, you guys, there's only one who is responsible for my hope, your hope, our joy, love, value, approval, worth, peace, and wholeness. And his name is Jesus. But I'm jumping ahead to the good part. I don't want to go there yet. Let me just pause for one more moment and just provide another sharing prompt. I would invite you to go to my Instagram at the Happy Family Coach or to my Facebook group page, which is the Happy Family Coach Podcast Community, and share a time, if you would be so willing and vulnerable, to share a time when you sought external validation from others. And how did this impact your sense of self-worth? I would love to hear from you and to correspond with you as part of me helping equip you with tools to begin to unravel and process any unresolved conflict, shame, and to help you unlock your true identity. So let's jump back into my story. I'm going to title this section Marriage and Transformation. And let's fast forward to my early 20s. By the time I was 24 years old, I had cycled through several unhealthy relationships, lots of heartache, plenty of tears. I made some regrettable, life-altering decisions that would haunt me until about 3 years ago. All the while, I was seeking external validation, approval, and love. I met a man much older than me. He was actually 19 and a half years older than me. And we dated long distance for about 6 months. We got engaged, and then I moved from my Los Angeles, California home where I was born and raised. Yes, I am a Southern California girl. And I moved to his rental home in Virginia. I had many red flags. There were many red flags, and I didn't know it was discernment at the time, but there was a lot of discernment about this relationship. But like I said earlier, I am extremely stubborn, and I thought I could make it work. I wanted a happy marriage. I wanted a happy little family. I wanted to feel better, but I didn't know how to have one. I had never, ever dealt with my past hurts or childhood trauma. I had simply covered up the pain and suffering with external band-aids, quick fixes, and people-pleasing. Needless to say, we had an extremely toxic relationship from the very beginning. His unhappy story and his destructive defense strategies combined with my unhappy story and extremely defensive strategies. And there you go. Voila, you have a match made in H-E double hockey sticks, exclamation point. So we were married 10 months after our engagement. And 3 months later, I was expecting our first child. When I was about 7 months pregnant, we packed up our lives and moved down to Chattanooga, Tennessee. That's a whole nother story, and I will share that soon. Love Chattanooga. And 3 months after we moved, I gave birth to the most beautiful, precious, angelic, brown skin baby boy with the most amazing head of hair and dark, curious eyes. I thought for sure that loving a child or having a child would fix our marriage troubles, would fix me. And boy, was I wrong. But I was still determined to make it work. Remember, stubborn, and I want to be in control. We actually ended up going to at least six different marriage counselors, but nothing seemed to help. 3.5 years later, I conceived our second child, and our marriage continued to crumble. But still, I was determined to have the appearance of a perfect family. I gave birth to the most beautiful little girl with the tiniest nose and the softest skin. Our cycle, our pattern of destruction was that things would be good. And so things were good after her birth. And then they began to escalate and explode. And that was sort of our pattern. Everything would be good, we'd be on our best behavior, and then it would escalate because remember the iceberg underneath, and there would be an explosion, and then there would be just complete passive aggressiveness and unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment. And then we would make up and everything would be good, and then it would go over and over and over again. So by the time Reese, our daughter, was 1 year old, my former husband and I had that big, huge fight where she was trembling when I held her. And this was a pivotal moment for me. I had zero faith or hope in God, but something deep inside me stirred, and I knew I needed help. I knew I could no longer remain in this marriage and remain safe or sane. I knew that if something didn't change, I would definitely be repeating the generational pattern of sin, of dysfunction, and destructive behaviors and relationships for my children, who would then repeat the cycle that they would go and get married and have destructive, dysfunctional relationships and repeat that cycle, and their children would repeat the cycle. And so that night, for the very first time in a very long time, I cried out to God and I prayed. A series of unexplainable supernatural events occurred shortly after my prayer time with the Lord, and He led me to a very special woman who would become an extremely important part of my healing journey, and who ultimately, and in a very unconventional way, pointed me to Jesus. And I thank God for her every day. It was during my second or third individual counseling session with her that she simply told me the truth and called me to take responsibility for what I was believing, my thoughts, my feelings, and behaviors, and pointed out to me that those things, my thoughts, my feelings, and behaviors, were the actual reason and the cause of my misery. And up until this point, I had no idea that I had the ability to take my thoughts captive, question them, and align them with God's perfect will. No idea, clueless. I'm sure some of you can relate. I just thought I felt bad because of how other people did or did not treat me. I spent a lifetime blaming others for my misery, unhappiness, and lack of fulfillment. I still remember to this day, 16 years ago, when she sat across the room from me and stated, "Danielle, honey, this is our third session together, and I'm really trying to help you, but until you're willing to get vulnerable with me and authentic, I'm wasting your money and you're wasting my time. And if you truly, honestly want peace in your life, then when you're ready, let me know." And I remember thinking in my mind, who in the heck does this woman think she is? I have never had a therapist speak to me this way. She's supposed to agree with me that I am a good wife, that I do everything for my husband, and that he is keeping me from having the happiness and joy I deserved. Why wasn't she agreeing with me? That no matter how hard I try, nothing is ever good enough for him. But deep down inside, I really did want peace, and I was curious. I wanted to see what she was going to say. What did I have to lose by being vulnerable, to be real and authentic with her? "Fine," I said. "I'm willing. I do want peace. Please tell me, what do I need to do?" And she said, "Sweetie, I hear you telling me how hard you work to prove your worth to your husband, how much you try to do to get his approval. But Danielle, who is it that doesn't believe they are good enough no matter how hard they try to prove it? Who is it? This was a light bulb moment for me. Y'all, no one had ever asked me to look at what I was believing about myself, about my identity. She asked me some pretty tough questions, and all of them caused me to just go deeper and deeper into my past hurts, past wounds, and eventually we would look deeply and explore unresolved family trauma. It was amazing. I was looking back at a lifetime of playing the victim, yet never taking responsibility for the part I was playing. And what is my part? My part and your part is when we blindly believe the lies and unhappy beliefs that Satan has whispered to us over and over about our identity, our false identity, the beliefs that we have about ourselves, the beliefs that we have about God and about others. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden and how the serpent tempted Eve? He twisted the truth of God and he made her question her identity and who God was. And that's what Satan does when he lies to us. So I want to pause again and just throw out another reflective question for you. How have moments of turmoil, like my knockdown, dragout fight, in your life led to your transformation and growth? Or how has my story prompted you to take a deeper look at your turmoil and see maybe what is God doing in your life through that trial, through the suffering, through the hardship? Okay, let's get back to my story again. I'm going to title this section Purpose and Redemption and how the Lord redeemed my story, my family's legacy amidst the chaos, and hopefully weave together moments of the divine guidance that I received and self-discovery. So I was at my mentor's house. She actually offered these amazing healing core belief retreats at her home on Mont Eagle Mountain. And it was there that I had an encounter with Jesus. She had taken us through a very powerful guided meditation. And at the end of this guided imagery, she had us meditate on Jesus Christ and on the cross. Essentially, what I heard was she asked us to get in touch with any false beliefs and unhappy stories about my sin, about my past mistakes, about my painful family dynamics, about any shame that I had continued to carry around with me, and why had I not nailed them to the cross? I was asked if I had fully surrendered my life to Jesus, and with tears streaming down my face, I gave my life to him. I remember it as I close my eyes and I can still see it. I felt his presence. I felt his loving arms wrap around me. I felt comforted. I felt embraced. It was beautiful. I actually heard his voice calling my name, calling me to him. His yoke is light, he said. My yoke is light. That's one of my favorite scriptures. So after that, my faith grew exponentially. And it's just a few months, maybe a month and a half after that first retreat that I attended, I actually had the privilege of my mom and sister joining me for another healing retreat, and it was powerful. It was actually during this retreat, I believe the Lord began to do what he does best, which is redeem and heal families. And he began the healing work on past hurts, false beliefs, unresolved trauma, dysfunctional family dynamics, and the destructive behaviors that had impacted my family on both sides of my family, mom and dad, for generations. Think about that. That's what God does. He wants to redeem and heal so that the next generation can carry on a new legacy and to be for God and to do what is right in his eyes. I received my first Bible probably 5 or 6 months after that second retreat with my mom and sister. And it was actually a gift from my mom and my mentor. And I could not put it down. I remember I was just like reading it. Couldn't put it down. I was trying to understand it. I decided I needed to read the one-year Bible reading plan. I started to know and understand God more. I started to understand my worth, my value, my acceptance, my inheritance, my approval, my love, and my place in God's heart. I never knew any of those things. He actually loved me. He actually had so much to say about who I am and who I am not. He began to help me see the lies I was believing about myself, and he eventually began to replace them with his truth. His word literally changed me, transformed me from the inside out. To this day, it still continues to transform me. At this point in my life, I was still married to my former husband, but I began to grow and heal, and I wanted so much for him to be a part of it. I wanted him to know Jesus like I knew Jesus. I wanted to repair and restore a marriage, but there was a block. There was like this invisible block that was the reason ultimately why it came down to us no longer being equally yoked. It was one of the hardest things I knew I had to do for the health of our children. And in order for God to begin to break the chains of dysfunction, destructive relationship patterns, and trauma in my life. So we eventually got divorced, and it was hard and it was painful. And there was deep, deep sadness and deep, deep sorrow. And there was great fear. I had zero family in Tennessee. Again, California girl. I did have an amazing group of friends, women that had come into my life, having lived here in Tennessee for quite some time. But I didn't have the family support that I could rely on during this transition period from marriage to divorce and singlehood. But I look back now and I realize that I was exactly where God wanted me to be. He wanted me to depend on Him 1,000%. And I had no choice. I had to. I always smile and praise him because he showed up in such amazing ways. It would take me probably 3 more hours to share with you all of the blessings that happened during the divorce and the next 3 years that I remained single. During those 3 years, I devoted my life to God. I relied on him for everything, for strength, for provision, for guidance, self-control, for wisdom, for parenting help, for energy, for peace, and for just instruction on what to do next. I felt led to be a coach or a counselor of some sort. I didn't know where I would land or how I'd get there. But I did decide to go back to school. I became a faith-based family coach and began working with other moms and dads, parents, blended families who needed help navigating their own unhealthy family dynamics. They needed tools for resolving conflict. And I had something to share with them, something that the Lord had given to me. Okay, we're coming to the close of my story. Let's title this last section, The Birth of the Happy Family Coach. And I'm going to fast forward to me meeting my husband, Jack. It is quite a beautiful story. In fact, it's an amazingly beautiful story. It's a God story. So during the last year of my being a single divorced mom of two, I began to pray and ask God lots of questions about my future. Lord, would I ever get married again? Lord, was there actually a good and godly man out there for me? I was starting to believe that I might be single for the rest of my life. It felt like forever. And I remember asking, I mean, if you want me to move to a convent after the kids are grown, if you want me to remain single, I will, I'll be obedient, but please don't make me, I don't want to, I want to get married again. I want a godly husband. It sounds funny, but I was not having any prospects showing up on my doorstep. It was like I was in a bubble, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, I was able to get very clear during that time on what kind of man I wanted the Lord to bring me. I had never thought about that. I wanted a man who first and foremost had to have a strong relationship with God. I wanted someone who would help me raise my children. I wanted a godly man who would be the spiritual, financial, household leader for our family. I wanted a partner to help me raise my children, who would accept them as his own. I wanted a healthy family where God was the rock upon which our home was built. So little did I know, God was busy at work, not only in my life, but in the life of my future husband. And God is so good. He's so faithful in his divine timing. And as part of his perfect plan, not my plans, he would use another mom who I knew from our children's elementary school to play matchmaker. We really didn't know one another well, but she was moved one day to text me out of the blue and tell me that she wanted to introduce me to one of her and her husband's dear friends. And the rest is history. We met, fell in love, were engaged 6 months later, and married 1 year and 2 days after our first meeting. And it has been an amazing love story filled with redemption and healing. Let me just be very clear here. Our marriage is far from perfect. In fact, I have to own my part and take responsibility for my behavior often when we have had conflict or disagreements. He has to do the same. I think this is actually a vital part of any healthy marriage, of any healthy friendship or family relationship: humility. We can't move forward in a godly and biblical way if we are continually blaming, blame shifting, gaslighting, and refusing to own our own part in conflict. It's not easy though, trust me. And if you're a blaming bully like me, admitting I had a part meant that I'm admitting I'm wrong, which feels awfully close, almost identical to the feeling that I have when I believe the lie that I'm a bad girl who doesn't deserve to be loved. But I have learned that owning my part not only draws me closer to the Lord, it also draws me closer to my husband. It takes a willingness to be truly authentic and to be extremely vulnerable. But I felt safe and secure to do this because my hope, my value, my worth, my identity are no longer in people. They are in the Lord. I would love to have my husband on the show one day to share his side of our marriage story, hopefully soon. But let's get into how the Happy Family Coach, biblical counseling, and now this podcast was born. Remember my mentor that I mentioned earlier? I would eventually take everything she had taught me, everything I learned under her tutelage, and turn it into a faith-based method for me to teach and help families learn how to navigate their unhealthy family dynamics, look at their unhappy stories, and I would begin to work with children as young as 4. They can actually grasp these concepts. They learn how to repent, how to confess, how to own their part, and how to ask forgiveness. I wanted to teach others how to apply the same biblical principles and values that I had so graciously received from the Lord to transform the family dynamic with my children in my new marriage, in my parenting, and I wanted shared with everyone. And so along with the help, guidance, and encouragement from my mentor, my husband, and my family, I developed the Happy Kid Toolkit. It is a tool for families, counselors, therapists, school teachers, and anyone really to use in the midst of conflict and or as a way to resolve conflict. The Happy Kid Toolkit promotes self-responsibility. It promote self-control, humility, authenticity, healthy communication, repentance, grace, mercy, and forgiveness. It offers a step-by-step process for teaching and modeling for our children how to create an environment where repentance is welcomed, confession is invited, grace is given, and forgiveness is freely offered. I actually borrowed that last quote from pastor, author, and biblical counselor John Henderson. I will have plenty of episodes, don't worry, where I will explain more about the Happy Kid Toolkit and how to use it, but let's get back to the story. So I started building my family coaching practice, and it began to grow through word of mouth and professional referrals, and the Lord was using my broken and redeemed past to offer people hope, joy, and tools. And I was offering faith-based coaching, but it wasn't enough. I wanted to point my families toward Jesus and his word, but I wasn't exactly clear on exactly what that looked like. I did my best and my intentions were good, but about 4 years ago, I felt called to biblical counseling. I started with ACBC and learned a lot there, but it still wasn't enough. I have to admit, I am a lifelong learner. I love to learn and to equip myself with more tools, more training, and more biblical wisdom. So during this time of profound learning and biblical education, the Lord surrounded me with a group of core mentors and amazing women, of faith who were such an encouragement. They were so supportive, so edifying. And one of them actually encouraged me to look into the ABC training, the Association for Biblical Counselors. And they had a certification program, and so I did it. I fell in love with it, and in 2022, I completed the certification program and became a certified biblical counselor. And I began to confidently counsel my clients with the Word of God, as well as using the Happy Kid Toolkit as a visual aid to demonstrate how conflict occurs and how to help them get in touch with their unhappy stories, their false identities, how to take responsibility, and how to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, move off of and away from their old self, their old destructive behaviors, defense strategies, and strongholds. God is so good, and He is so faithful. He continues to just show up in profound ways in my counseling room and in the lives of my counselees. So finally, I promise this is it. How did this podcast idea occur? Where did it come from? So last July, we were at the beach with another dear friend of ours, and she and her husband and her precious two daughters were with us. And one morning, my friend and I were sitting down at the dining room table, spending our quiet time doing our devos and praying and just being in the Word of God. And I remember I was on the Bible app, and it took me through a series of scripture and then some reflective questions. And I remember one of the questions really caused me to pause and reflect on what it was that the Lord was calling me into. What was my purpose? What was my calling? And it was asking me to sort of seek clarity. So as I was pondering these questions, sort of wrestling with, Lord, what do you want me to do? What are you calling me to do? I feel you pulling me deeper. I feel you calling me to do something, but what? And so I started journaling and writing down, and podcast was one of the things that I wrote down. Podcast and writing a book. And I thought, who in the world is going to listen to me and my podcast? And who is going to buy my book of my story? But I wrote it down, and then I just prayed, finished, closed in prayer, and I thought nothing of it. Went to the beach with the girls, with our daughters. I think our husbands went off to play golf. After some beach time, we eventually made our way up to the house and made lunch, and then we were just sort of relaxing, lounging on the couch, watching old reruns of Family Ties. And earlier the night before, we had used our portable Sonos speaker to play music for a dance party from my phone. And I didn't realize that my phone Bluetooth was still connected to the speaker. And I was looking at my phone and I realized I had a missed phone call, I guess, while I was doing my Bible study. But I was just now seeing that I had missed a call and there was a voicemail. So I open up the voicemail app and I push play, and very loudly over the portable Sonos speaker, it starts playing the voicemail. Hi, Danielle. This is so-and-so from so-and-so podcast, and we have been referred to you. Someone thought you would be a great guest on our show, and I'm calling to see if we can get that scheduled. If you would please give me a call at such and such number, yada, yada, yada. We've heard wonderful things about your approach to biblical counseling and parent coaching. Thank you, and please call me back. And so that was the end of the message. And of course, my eyes open wide, and I'm looking at my daughter, and I'm looking at my friend, and I'm thinking, what in the world is happening here? And so I had already shared with my friend on the beach the time that I spent with the Lord and what He had been revealing to me. And we laughed about the podcast and the book, and it was interesting. But I again said, I don't know how to start a podcast. But my daughter didn't know, and neither did her daughters. And so they looked at us like, what? What's going on? And I said, Reese, you're not going to believe this, but go get my journal. And so she went and got my journal, and I said, read out loud what I journaled today. So she began to read that day's journal entry out loud and got to the part that said something about starting a podcast. And next to it, it said a podcast about breaking generational cycles of dysfunction and healing generational wounds and traumas and helping families to find wholeness and healing. And she looked at me and she said, "Mama, that's amazing." Long story short, I ended up calling the podcast studio and I was scheduled to be interviewed and I was a part of that show and it was wonderful. And then about three or four days later, I think we'd already been home from the beach, I received in my inbox an email from a woman who I have purchased her family day planner. She was featuring one of her mentors and the title of the email was, "Are you considering starting a podcast?" And I thought, no way. And it was an introduction, basically, and an invitation to register for a free bootcamp workshop with Stephanie Gass. And so, of course, I immediately signed up. I attended her bootcamp. I learned so much from her bootcamp that I actually decided to invest in and register for her Clarify Your Calling course and then her Podcast Pro University course. And I've learned so much. If you're considering starting a podcast, I highly recommend Stephanie Gass. And so that was the birth of the Happy Family Coach podcast. And I'm so thankful that you've been here and you've listened to this entire story. We're going to have so much fun together, y'all. I have so much more to share with you. Valuable tools, healthy communication skills, how to set boundaries, parenting, you name it. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you so much, Lord, for this time. Thank you for each person listening to the show today. I just lift them up to you, Lord. You know our hearts. You know our thoughts. You know what we're going to do, what we're going to think, what we're going to say before we think, do, or say it. You're such a wonderful God. You're such a loving Father. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone on this show who is struggling with unresolved hurts, past traumas, broken family dynamics, and dysfunctional parents, Lord, I just pray that you would reveal to them. There's something that I shared today on the show that you would reveal it to them. Help them get in touch with the unhappy story, the lie that they've been believing about themselves from the enemy. And Lord, I just pray that they would bring it to the forefront of their minds, that they would be just take it captive and they would search your word for truth and for clarity. And I pray, Lord, that they would feel comfortable and vulnerable enough to share their story in our community page. And Lord, just bless them. Bless us all, Lord. We just love you. You get the glory for everything in our lives. And we just love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for joining the Happy Family Coach podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with loved ones. Connect with me on Instagram at the Happy Family Coach, or join our Facebook group. And remember, you're not alone on this journey. Until next time, may the Lord bless you abundantly.